Do you consider yourself an optimist, a pessimist, somewhere in the middle? What is that? Chelsea, what do you think you are? Are you an optimist or pessimist?
I try very hard to be an optimist. I find pessimism exhausting and infuriating.
See, and I've often looked at it as, well, if you don't expect anything to turn out well, you're never going to be disappointed. In fact, you get little moments of bliss going, hey, that worked out better than I thought.
So are you defining yourself as somewhere sort of neutral with maybe a lean towards pessimism?
I think I'm centrist with a lean toward pessimism.
I would argue that most of us are probably somewhere in the middle. But, you know, depending on what's going on in your life, certainly depending on the day, you know, maybe you lean one way more than the other.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's fair. I think mood can sometimes depend on, make an impact too as to where you're at in a moment. As soon as we started talking about this topic in the last half hour, Lauren jumped in with some fascinating thoughts. He says, some call me a pessimist, but I don't trust their judgment. They say my glass is half empty when clearly it's no more than 40%. I'd say I hope you two have a nice day, but odds are you won't. Enjoy the weather, but it's likely to be windy and rainy. Bye for now, but I'll probably never hear from you again. Wah, wah, gee, Lauren, I think you're a little less centrist.
So is that a healthy approach to be pessimistic? How much pessimism is actually okay, and how much of it is just... it's just human. So we're going to talk about that right now with our next guest. He's a PhD candidate in philosophy at Western University. Ignacio Moya is joining us. Mr. Moya, good morning. Thank you so much for coming on to chat with us about this.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm fascinated by research in this area of philosophy. But pessimism, are we talking active pessimism where you spend each of your days just going, this is never going to work? Like, how are you looking at this?
Okay, so that's thank you for the question. I think that's a very important question because it's a great place to start. I think there's an important difference to be made between what is pessimism in a philosophical sense and what is often meant by pessimism in a more colloquial, everyday psychological perspective of what pessimism means.
Okay.
So it's important to make this difference because I think Chelsea sort of mentioned this in her at the start, right? When she said, pessimism can sometimes be a bit exhausting and you're always sort of focusing on the negative side of events. But pessimism in a philosophical sense isn't so much about our personal perspective on issues. It has more to do with a philosophy about the suffering of life and what is the best way that we can deal with suffering in life. I'm getting to the point of your question. It's not so much about how you deal with bad events on a day-to-day basis. It's more about the nature of existence itself in general.
So are you talking about, just so that we're clear on defining this, someone that you would define as pessimistic as somebody who has that negative outlook all of the time? Like, no matter what, that's your approach and that's the way that you perceive everything, is just with that pessimistic outlook?
I guess it depends what we mean by negative. So in not negative... so let me put the following example. You can be a philosophical pessimist, okay, as I am and as I do my work in philosophical pessimism. And by being a philosophical pessimism, what I'm actually saying is existence, not just human existence, but all of existence is always necessarily filled with, you know, suffering and pain and work and toil and so on. And there are philosophical reasons for this. But that doesn't mean that in my personal life or me as an individual, that doesn't imply that I will always live with a negative attitude. So I can be a pretty positive person in my life. I can have a fairly cheerful and a sort of optimistic outlook on life and still be a philosophical pessimist. So they're not opposed to each other. So, right, that's a difference to take into account.
So is philosophical pessimism a recognition that life is hard and life can suck, but you've got to figure out how to deal with it?
I think that's one way to look at it, yes. Philosophical pessimism is, I think you said it, right? Life can be a hard, it's a hard thing to, that we have to deal with every day. And it's, and I think the interesting thing about philosophical pessimism is that it tells us that the hardships and the troubles that we face in existence aren't due, and I think this is an important thing, aren't due to any issues on our side. They're not due to failures on our part. They are, the sufferings and the hardships that we face are due to the essence of existence itself. So if we accept that, then in a way, it can make our lives possibly easier, because it allows us to cope better with the hardships that we face. So I think that's an important issue there.
Yeah, you know, it kind of touches on what some of our texters are saying. Someone who he calls himself Big Bald Tyler, he texted and he says, I like being a pessimist. If I expect things to go wrong, I get to be pleasantly surprised when they go right. And I'm less often sourly disappointed. And it sort of sounds like to me, and maybe I'm taking a little bit of a leap, that this is sort of what you're saying, Ignacio, is that, you know, by understanding the reality of life as not necessarily being sunshine and roses all the time, there's suffering, there's hardships, there's wars, there's bad news, then once you accept that, you're not coming from this sort of naive, optimistic point of view. Is that how that it can be beneficial to be a philosophical pessimist, in your opinion?
Yes, I think so, Chelsea. I think that's right. So having this, so understanding the nature of the essence of existence. These are, by the way, you know, questions that philosophers ask themselves all the time. So we deal with these issues. And when you ask yourself about the nature of existence and you accept or you assume and you argue that existence itself in its essence is always going to be about struggle and work and hardships, then yes, you are in a better position to face your day-to-day lives, possibly because, or one of the reasons for this could be, as the person you just mentioned before was saying, if your expectations aren't so high, you're in a better position to accept the bad outcomes
and
of your life.
As we try to wrap our heads around these philosophical discussions and conversations, I wonder if we end up splitting hairs over words sometimes. But Ed to me just sort of, I think, crystallizes. You tell me if you agree. Ed says, my wife calls me a pessimist. I say I'm a realist. It sounds like recognizing the reality of the world and our existence and all, that you're being a realist, not a pessimist.
So that's also very interesting, because as you say, it might seem like we're splitting hairs here over words, and perhaps unfortunately, I don't know how to say it, but this is something philosophers sometimes, you know, do, and we're criticized for that because we kind of tend to, you know, what do you mean exactly by this word and so on. So yes, if we're going to be rigorous in a sense, you could say possibly in a colloquial sense that a pessimist is a realist. Depending, of course, what we mean by realism, because if by realism we mean simply accepting the fact that life is hard, then yes, yeah, you could say that a pessimist is a realist in that sense.
But isn't it a slippery slope then to define yourself as a pessimist and say, okay, well, this is okay. It's okay to have this understanding of the world. Doesn't that kind of give you license to then just be that negative person that I think we can all imagine and conjure up when we talk about pessimism?
Right. So maybe, possibly, there might be some people that might read, for example, Schopenhauer or Sartre, you know, famous philosophers that dealt with the issues of existence. So maybe there might somebody that might read this and come to the conclusion that life is suffering, and therefore, in his or her personal life, they'll become this gloomy, depressive person that always is in a negative mood, possibly. But I don't think there's a necessary connection. I mean, it doesn't have to be the case. So I personally hope, for example, that I'm not one of those people that's always in a negative mood. And there certainly doesn't have to be the case. But in a sense, it's possible. Just as long as we're aware that it doesn't have to be the case, you can you can be a philosophical pessimist and still be a fairly upbeat person in your daily life. Yeah. There's
Ignacio,
no contradiction there.
When I knew we were talking about these high-level philosophical discussions at just after 6 o'clock in the morning Mountain Time, I was pessimistic about how it might go, but I am now thrilled with the result and the outcome.
Well, I have to thank you so much for this, and I appreciate it. And it was a great discussion, Daryl and Chelsea, and I hope people that are listening to this will... It doesn't have to be depressive or anything. So
what an interesting path of research to go down for you, Ignacio. Thank you so much for sharing your perspective. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Chelsea and Daryl, again for the invitation.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.